He's the same Jesus. And it's the same word. It is exactly the same power. It is the same power of the same Holy Spirit. And he said, it's the Father within me. He does the works.
Good morning, good morning. We welcome all of you here. Welcome Calgary, welcome Alberta, welcome Canada, welcome everybody watching on Dish Network, iPad, iPhone, computer, Apple Watch, whatever. If you're listening to your shoe, your belt, your earrings, whatever you're listening to, we're glad you're here. Let's give everybody a welcome this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, it's prayer time, and I want to thank you especially for being here this morning. Those of you who are brave and bold, how many of you, you're part of some sort of prayer group in your church? Maybe a prayer leader, you're part of a group, you come to early morning prayer, late night prayer, Saturday prayer, Sunday prayer. Some point, you're involved somewhere in some prayer group. I see your hands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, the rest of you, I officially commission you this morning. You are a part of Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer team today. Glory to God. And our mission here in pre-service prayer, where our commission is to just do what the Lord leads us to do. So it can be, you know, sometimes we teach some, sometimes we teach a lot. Sometimes we don't hardly teach at all. Sometimes we pray about Brother Copeland. Sometimes we pray about the service. Sometimes we pray about Israel. Sometimes we pray about the nation. Sometimes we pray about the church. But remember what I told you the Lord said to me last night. I told you that he said to me, there's something about it when people who know how to use their faith come together to pray. You came here this morning, I would say most of you at least, came here because you wanted to be a part of pre-service prayer. Some of you came because you thought the regular service started at 8:30. Some of you came because you thought you were somewhere else. But we're glad you're here for whatever reason. And so we're going to follow the leading of the Lord. Now last night we started talking a little bit about the prophet's ministry. Brother Copeland was commissioned and called. The Lord told him he was called as a prophet, but he told the Lord, I'm not doing anything with that. You'll have to do something about that. You'll have to do something publicly about that. It's a lot of people aspire to be a prophet, want to call themselves prophets and so forth. And that calling yourself one doesn't make you one, you know? He just put that in the hands of the Lord in 1976, I believe, maybe 1977. The Lord moved on Brother Kenneth E. Hagin during the camp meeting service there. And he just came in that night, said, I'm not even sure what I'm going to preach. I have one scripture and we're just going to go on that. And so he began to preach and it turned into a whole message on the prophet's ministry. The prophet's ministry of Elijah, of Jesus, and of Paul. And through all that, he just preached quite a message. And as he was closing out the service, in fact, in the middle of the altar call, he turned around to my dad, who was sitting on the platform with a number of other ministers. And he said, Ken Copeland. And he called him out and he ordained him into the prophet's ministry, gave him instructions in how to operate, prophesied over him, and then later the Lord said to my dad, well, is that public enough for you? So the entire service was directed towards that commission. So we started last night looking at a little bit about the prophet's ministry. It's a lot more extensive than we could cover in a few days, in a short period of time, and it's way more extensive than I know anything about, but the Lord's blessed me to know a little bit. Now, in Luke chapter 3, we talked about John the Baptist, and though he was a prophet under the Old Testament, There are most of the qualities of the prophet's ministry have remained intact through the process of the cross. Now, there's one role of the prophet's ministry that was then that is not now. In the old days, it was the prophet's ministry that people relied on for direction. They had to look to the king, the priest, or the prophet, because those were the only ones who had the anointing. Now, there were teachers, of course, and there were teachers of the law, and they gave scriptural direction and advice. But when it came time to have a leading from God, something significant in their lives, they had no inward witness, no inward directing of the Holy Spirit. That didn't happen until the church, till the church era. So that piece of the prophet's ministry was left to the Old Testament, because in the New Testament, the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. Now, the Lord can still use a prophet's ministry. He can use the gifts and operations of the Spirit at times, but we don't seek that out. We don't go to Brother Copeland and say, "Oh, Brother Copeland, I need you to give me a word from the Lord." Well, he can give you counsel. He can give you instruction, as any minister or other believer would, and through his experience. But unless the Lord moves upon him in a special way, that is not what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to seek that out. We seek the Lord. And we seek that witness of the Holy Spirit. And if he chooses to bring that to us through one of the ministry gifts or through an operation of the gifts of the Spirit, then that's his choice, because it's as the Spirit wills. So in Luke chapter 3, what I want to point out to you today in the ministry of John the Baptist, we talked last night how it was clear that he was functioning in a time that was dominated by the political and the religious brutality and corruption of the era, of the time. So the atmosphere was charged with demonic influence and control, and what would look like not a very good time, not a favorable time to preach repentance. And yet, under the anointing of the Lord and the prophet's ministry, just like you can see all through the Old Testament, John had a word from God that came to him in the desert, and the word was, "You go and prepare the way of the Lord, and you preach repentance unto the forgiveness of sins." And so he did. Now, who did he talk to? Well, in Luke chapter 3, verse 7, "So he said to the crowds who came to be baptized by him, 'You offspring of vipers, who secretly warned you to flee from the coming wrath.'" Who told you? "Bear fruits of your repentance." That is a conduct that's worthy of a real heart change. "And don't say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I'm telling you, God is able from these stones to raise up descendants for Abraham. Even now, the axe is being laid to the root of the tree," or even while I'm speaking, what I am saying is cutting this off. What I'm saying is cutting away all your excuses. It's not a racial identity, not an ethnic identity, not a demographic identity, not a denominational identity, not a label that you can wear that God is looking through. He's looking at you and he's looking at your heart. And it was the word of the prophet that was cutting through and changing. Now look who he talked to, verse 10. "And the multitudes asked him, 'What shall we do?'" So he was speaking, he had a voice to the general population and multitudes of the people. "And he said to them, 'He who has two tunics, let him share with him who has none. He who has food, let him do the same.' Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, 'Teacher, what shall we do?'" Tax collectors. So John the Baptist is having an impact and an effect on the financial realm. Is it possible that Canada could use some godly influence in the financial realm and markets of this nation? Or is everything good and perfect and humming along beautifully? No, it needs the influence of God. And the more in this day and hour, there's not a nation on the planet that doesn't need more of God, and most of it operating under this influence and pressure that the Antichrist spirit is working in. And so the voice of the prophet begins to change that realm. Now, it's interesting here. What did they say to John the Baptist? They said, teacher. They didn't say, oh, great prophet. They just said, teacher. An enormous part of the prophet's ministry is as a teacher. Teaching is a huge portion of the prophet's ministry. Now, it is different than just the calling of the teacher. There's a different quality about it and a different effect of it. Paul was a teacher. The Apostle Paul was also a prophet and a teacher. And so what do we see in the New Testament? It is full of his teaching, but all of his teaching came out of, under the umbrella of the prophet's anointing, the prophet's office, not just a prophet's anointing, but that office that he stood in, the call and the grace to be a prophet. Jesus, of course, was a teacher. We know that from Matthew, thinking it's chapter 9, and it says that Jesus went about teaching and preaching and healing. So as a prophet, Jesus was a teacher. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 11, Barnabas went to the Samaritans and saw that they were being saved. This was huge. They were excluded from the general population of the Jews. They found out they were getting saved. They sent Barnabas. He went down there. He saw what was happening. And so he said to them, okay, you guys, it wasn't the Samaritans, it was in Antioch. So some of the first Gentiles. So he said, okay. So the Bible says Barnabas exhorted them and he encouraged them. And he said, don't quit doing what you're doing. Stay committed to the Lord. I'll be right back. And he left there and he went and found Saul in Tarsus. This was, of course, Saul was in the ministry and brought him back to Antioch. And the scripture says in Acts 11, it says that there were great crowds and Paul instructed them. And it was there at Antioch that they first were called Christians. No mention of great signs and wonders or miracles. No mention of anything like that, but it was the prophet's ministry through instruction that the body of Christ began recognized as the body of Christ, the anointed one, little anointed ones. And that came through the instruction of the word. And that instruction, it wasn't just instruction, but the grace that was on the prophet's ministry for instruction actually began to change the atmosphere, and the very atmosphere itself had a work of grace about it. So not just the information that was passed along, but there was a work of grace that was calling the body of Christ together and bringing them together as Christians. And the rest of the world, unfavorably, but they recognized the same quality in this group of people that there were, that there, the qualities that were in Jesus. So there's also judgment that's involved in teaching. Now, as a teacher teaches, it's not so much that way. But when a prophet begins to teach under that prophet's anointing and calling, then there is a judgment quality about it, and people are held accountable for what's taught. Not only the people who heard, but the people who should have been there to hear. Those that the Lord appointed and called, those that should have and decided for some other reason, I don't want to. What does Jesus say? Hey, what is it? I married a wife, I bought a cow, I had a job, we had a little league game to go to. And so those sort of things, there is a judgment that the Lord, in other words, it doesn't mean that, you know, that God's going to send fire down on you, but the devil will work every opportunity to steal the word that you should have heard. Think about it. Think about it. So we always want to be where the Lord tells us to be. And then also with the prophet's teaching, there also can be a judgment that comes. And it's not that you have to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, and if you don't do this, then this will happen. No, it just happens to be the quality of the calling. Now, judgment is not always a bad thing. There can be a good judgment as well as a bad one. We always tend to put that word in a negative connotation. But in fact, when Bible judgment is, I judge that for God or against God. And when judgment, the teaching of the prophet, then when it's received, what did we hear last night? When you receive the prophet because he's a prophet, well, what does that mean, receive a prophet? Well, you're here, and you're here to receive, and you're here to hear, and you take it, and you believe it. Paul said, I believe it was the Thessalonians, he said to them, you took our word as the word of God. You took it seriously, and you acted on it. And then he begins to tell them what would happen to them as a result of that. There was a judgment of their actions, and God judged it in their favor. God judged it, and there was an abundance of grace and provision. And the rest of the churches in all the region heard about what the church was happening at Thessalonica, all because they acknowledged the prophet's ministry, and they took what he said as the word of God and responded to it. So as we take and honor the word of God in the prophet or any of the fivefold ministries, but when we take and honor that word as a word from God for us, in the spirit of faith, does it mean they're infallible? No. Does it mean they might make a mistake? No, of course they make mistakes. But when a man or woman is walking in that office in integrity, you know, the Lord told, I believe it was Samuel, he said, I won't even let one of your words fall to the ground. Even if he said something that wasn't quite as the Lord told it to him, when he was walking in integrity before God, God brought it to pass anyway. So somebody told my dad one time, he said, Brother Copeland, please don't make a mistake because I'm following so close behind you that I'll make it before you have a chance to correct. I'll make the same mistake, so please get it right. And so we want to be that hungry. Now, one last thing I want to mention before we pray. In Matthew, as I mentioned, Matthew chapter 9, and it is 9. I mentioned that to you about Jesus. Jesus went about all the cities and villages. So he went to the highly populated places. He went to the small populated places. In fact, he ministered to the woman at the well when there wasn't anybody else around but her. So he was teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of diseases, every weakness and infirmity. So this was a picture of the ministry of Jesus, teaching, preaching, healing. And we saw demonstrations of that, all three, last night. But now verse 36, and when he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity, or King James, compassion, because they were bewildered like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is indeed plentiful, the laborers are few, so pray that the Lord of the harvest to force out laborers into his harvest. So there must be prayer over these ministries. Now, what I want to point out to you there is the shepherd. Jesus was every ministry gift. Jesus was the consummate. He stood in all five ministry offices. Nobody else does that. Nobody else stands officially in the office of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now, there can be pastoral qualities. There can be things that obviously that will operate in any one person as the need demands and as the Lord sees fit. But to actually have an office equipment, well, for example, in my office, I have a position as a pastor in the church. I function in that office. And you know, there are some things that I can do administratively. There are some things that I can, because it's required of me. I can sit all by myself at home with my computer and I can do some things. Only as the need demands and as the grace of God is upon me. But when it gets to a point to where I need someone who is equipped and skilled with an office, a grace for that operation on them, I call Tracy that's sitting on here on the front row. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Tracy, my computer's froze up. Tracy, and I thank God for FaceTime because we FaceTime and say, look, this is what my screen looks like. What do I do now? How do I fix this? Tracy. And sometimes she tells me what to do, and sometimes she says, I'll be there in 15 minutes. And so she comes to help me. So everybody say, thank God for Tracy. So there's, and sometimes I draw on the grace and anointing that's on her, and it helps me. And sometimes I just got to have somebody that's in full operational gear and grace with administration, because she can do it. She's a whiz. So why do I bring this up about the pastor's anointing? Because my husband, Pastor George, will be speaking this afternoon on prosperity and increase. Now, as a pastor, he is particularly equipped to minister and to function in a pastoral office, even under the same topic. But I want to show you something that can happen and actually should be happening. There was somebody one time early on as we started pastoring. They came to our church for a little while, and then he decided to leave. And he told Pastor George, he said, "You know, I'm not coming to your church anymore because you weren't raised up under a pastor, so you can't really be a pastor. You're raised up under Brother Copeland, so you're not really a pastor." Well, that really was a shock to my husband. He thought, well, you know, God called me to be a pastor before I ever heard of Kenneth Copeland. I wonder how that works out. And then we thought, I guess poor little old Timothy, he couldn't really be a pastor. Don't you feel sorry for Timothy, who had two books about pastoring written to him from the Apostle Paul? Because he grew up under the Apostle Paul. He missed out. He didn't raise up under a pastor. No, that's not how it works. So even under the apostle and prophet's ministry, there is equipping for other ministry gifts for the grace that God has called them to. So today, as we pray, we're going to pray for Brother Copeland, and we're going to pray for Pastor George, because Pastor George functions, he though doesn't stand fully in the office of the prophet, haven't recognized that, but he operates prophetically as a pastor. Why? My goodness, because he has been that person to honor the prophet. He's been with the ministry 40 years this month. And for 40 years, he has studied, listened, followed, served, and done everything he could to mimic, as the scripture says, to follow after and to do what God's called him to do in the light of that prophet's anointing and equipping. So let's stand as we pray, and we're going to have an expectation now for the fullness of the prophet's office. Now, how do we do that? Well, we do it by faith. We do it by faith expecting. We're expecting something. I believe we got what we prayed for last night. And everything that we pray for this afternoon, I believe that it will work and help and supply an atmosphere right down here. There'll be such an atmosphere that when Brother Copeland or Pastor George or the musicians or anyone else, they step up onto, David, come on up. Just now watch David as he steps up. When he hits that step right there, he is stepping into an atmosphere that is a supply and an equipping for the prophet's ministry. David is a minister, and he operates prophetically in the psalmist ministry. He prophesies on the keys. He prophesies in music. Amen. Amen. Are you here today? Yeah. Praise God. Glad to know you're here. Okay. So now as we pray, we're going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and pray in the Spirit, because there are things that He wants to say and do that perhaps you think, just maybe, that there might be some things He wants us to touch on in prayer that we don't know about. We're wanting something of Him, so let's look to Him and follow Him in prayer. And David, you just help and just listen, okay? And what I mean, pray, but listen, and wherever you, when we're going to hook up today. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Most High, in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, in that name, Lord, is all the equipping, all the endowments, all the endowments, all the grace necessary for every office of the body of Christ. And it was by Jesus Himself who, when raised from the dead, gave gifts among men. And those gifts were the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And by the equipping of the grace of Jesus and by the work of the Holy Spirit, You place those gifts in the body. Today, Lord, we acknowledge the gift and ministry of both the apostle and prophet, as Brother Copeland is a sent one to this nation of Canada this week. And we acknowledge the operation of the prophet's ministry, to speak into realms and to affect the financial realm on this day of increase. Lord, we acknowledge the work of the prophet through the economy, and time after time after time, we see in the scripture where the prophet spoke and the economy of a nation was turned in one day from destitution, from famine, from recession, from depression, to a supply, to an equipment, Lord, to abundance. Where the prophet of the Lord said, by this time tomorrow, there will be plenty and abundance. And all the economists, all the strategists said, that's impossible. It's depression days. It's recession days. It's famine days. And nobody has a job. Nobody has meals for their table. But within 24 hours, there was an abundance of prosperity. There was an abundance of food. There was jobs. There was equipment. There was gold. There was finance in the land. And all the enemies of the nation were scattered and they ran, all because a prophet heard the voice of the Lord, spoke it out in faith, and the people took it. Oh, we praise you for that, Lord. And today, by faith, we are calling for that strength of that anointing, that, Lord, by faith, we'll hear it. By faith, we'll see it. And by faith, our hearts will take it and receive it. And through this body of Christ that sits in the seats today, that listens through the media voice today, that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, through obedient hearts and by people, by faith, who act on what they've heard, take it, believe it, receive it, and do it. Lord, the finances and the economy of this nation undergo, Lord, an infusion of the praise and the presence of God, an infusion of the Prince of Peace, an infusion of God's will and prosperity that brings glory to Him, brings prosperity to the church. Lord, we lift up the church of Jesus here in this nation. We lift up the body of Christ, all the different churches, everyone, Lord, who has ever acknowledged Jesus as their Savior. Anyone who has ever believed in their heart and said with their mouths, I believe Jesus is Lord. Lord, we lift them up to you. And we pray, Lord, over every need, every financial need, every cry, Lord, for wisdom, every cry for help, every cry, Lord, to feed their babies, every cry, Lord, to increase so they can give more, so they can do more. Lord, there's not one of us that wouldn't desire to do more for the kingdom. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that today changes everything. Today changes everything. I said today will change everything, everything, everything. Because, Lord, you're speaking to us. You're speaking to us by the anointed word of the Lord through Brother Copeland and Pastor George. Oh, we pray, Lord, for pastors. Lord, I pray for those that don't even hear. Lord, those that are unaware. Lord, where the voice of the prophet begins to change and alter the way, the thinking, the prevailing. Pray in the Spirit now. Don't just listen. Pray in the Spirit and agree. We're pulling for every word of prayer. See, we're praying right now under that same anointing. We're watching for words to pray. We're watching. What does He want us to say? What does He want us to pray? What does Jesus want done in this service? What does Jesus want done today? Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So, yeah, Lord. Okay. And I pray, Lord, for everyone. It's so good about that. The prevailing thoughts of the church today regarding finance, regarding supply, regarding God's will, regarding God's ability, regarding God's benevolent nature, and the errors concerning it, that today there is a shift in the church and its thinking, a shift to know that, bless God, He said, it is His will that we prosper, be in health, as our souls prosper before Him. So we give you praise today, Lord. We give you praise today. We have expectations, manifestations of your glory. We expect the atmosphere to change. We expect the nation to change. We expect ourselves to change. We expect, we expect. expect, we expect, and we give you praise and glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your voice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise.